Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Ches 108, and we start the world of Yesh Nochlin and Manchilin, daf Kuf Ches. This starts the perek about Yerusha. So a couple of points by way of introduction to the mitzvah of Yerusha and the concept of Yerusha. The Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Tuf. It's easy to remember where the Chinuch is and where the Rambam is for this mitzvah of Yerusha. Number one, mitzvah tough. It's a unique 400th mitzvah in the Sefer Chinuch. And in the Rambam, it's the last mitzvah saseh. Mitzvah number 248. So, says the Sefer Chinuch, mitzvah tough, shenitz tavinu bedine nachlus. Of course, Parshas Pinchas, b'no slavchad. We are commanded in the Parsha of Nachlus, klomar, shemitzvah aleinu la'asos v'ladun be'inyan hanachla. It's a mitzvah upon us. Mitzvah aleinu, upon us. What do you get from the Sefer Chinuch? Who is the mitzvah upon? It's a mitzvah upon Bezdin, it sounds like. Aleinu. La'asos v'ladun b'inyan achla ka'asher dana Torah aleha. Shneamar ish ki'amus v'enein lo. Goes through the whole process that we will talk about soon. So it sounds like the mitzvah upon Bezdin, even though at the end of the Sefer Chinuch he says, if somebody specifically tries to get out of yarshining his children, being morish his children, he was mevatel yaseh. So I guess a person, because when a person dies, it sounds like they have the way to prevent the mitzvah from taking place, but to actually fulfill the mitzvah, the fulfillment is upon best, and a person's kind of just facilitates the mitzvah from taking place. But that is the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch continues. What is the reason? What is the shorish hamitzvah behind the mitzvah? It says the chinuch b'shorish hamitzvah kedei sheyeda ha'adam v'yisbonein ki ha'olam biyad adon mashgiach al kol b'riyosav. The world is in the hands of God, who is in control of all of his creatures and creations. Ubert sono v'chefso atov zocha kol echad v'echad mibnei ha'olam v'chelek hanachasim shu masik ba'olam. When Hashem gave everybody a certain portion of assets, of property, of money in the world. Ummatanaso barachu mivurachas shetimashech lolam lasher yitzenelo. Hashem gives you a matana, gives you a present, so it should last with you. Imlo kimicheta kadmoni niklasa misa ba'olam. Bye, but what can you do? We have something called misa in the world. From the nachash kadmoni. So what are we supposed to do? Umipnei siluk gufo eno bedin lios hefsik lematnas hakel hamivurachas. Just because your body is not here anymore doesn't mean the gift should leave you. So how does it stay with you even if your body leaves? Avotespashid me'eleha biguf hamishtalshel mimenu shezeu b'no obito. But as long as it expands, if your body is not there anymore, but your child is there, so then that is good enough to consider it as if it is continuing by you. So the Sefer HaChinuch, that is an idea behind the mitzvah of chinuch, so it stays with you. Hopefully, we'll get back to that in a little bit. Point number two was what I alluded to before. Maybe we never thought about this, and that is who is mekayim the mitzvah of Yerusha. So Bezdin, that's an easy one. Bezdin takes care of it. Is a person mekayim Yerusha? When a person dies, is he mekayim the mitzvah of Yerusha? Most mitzvahs, there's a big discussion. Could you do a mitzvah when you sleep? That's a question. You do this when you sleep. So, post can say, maybe if the Kohanim are giving a carbon on your behalf while you're sleeping. Or, you know, what about, you know, Purvu, you know, your wife's having a child when you're sleeping, Mekayim the mitzvah, right? So, Yonat the Yoma, right? It's pretty hard to imagine how somebody would be sleeping. Maybe after 35 hours of labor, and then the husband falls asleep, so it's possible. Can you be Mekayim the mitzvah when you're dead? You know, that's even, and not just hashkafically, of course, we tried our children do mitzvahs, and if they do a mitzvah, and I help them, and I was machzor somebody b'tshuva, okay, I get the schar. It's not a hashkafic, connected sense. But tachlis, Yerusha. Does somebody get the mitzvah of Yerusha when they die? So that is a big question in the Rishonim, and it's not so clear. Not so clear who the mitzvah is on. This is a discussion of the, so in the Chavetzelas Hasharon, his big fat svarim on this one is on Sefer by Midbar and Parshas Pinchas. So there he has a discussion of this. When are you making the mitzvahs? He discusses maybe there's a Tanai HaTorah that the second before a person dies, that's when he's making the mitzvah of Yerusha. He's the zchiyah for him right before he dies. Nechagu Ravasa Harishonim Achronim Emesh Zchiyah Lemes. Is there zechia for somebody meis? V'miyish zechia l'meis. Haynu shameis zocha b'hachefetz. Umanchilo miyad liyarshav acharav. So he says, Mimanafshach, how does it work? How could there be zechia for a meis? So it must be Yerusha takeif lefnei gemar misa. He quotes that from Rabbi Bochanan. Chalostin Yerusha chayla gam mikoach amorish. Because if it's after death, so then how could the person be considered a morish and his child be considered a yoresh? Lundus. How does it work? Is it automatic? Who is giving the Yerusha to the child? Hashem or the father? Right? Who's giving it? We never thought about these questions. These are important questions to know because we're going to talk about different details of halacha. So is it the second before? That's what Rabbi Chanan suggests. Maybe it's the second before the person dies. That's when it's considered his, and then it goes to the children. Because there are gemaras we're going to have in this parak that discuss that the father is considered a morish, someone who is giving. The Gemara says later on, Kuf Chavav, Ha'omer b'ni ze lo yireh shemechav. Let's see, somebody says, this child is not going to get it. I don't like this child. Right? Chas v'shalom. Right? Like what the Gemara says about this week's parsha, that Yaakov was a makir Yosef amongst the brothers. Wasn't proper. But says the Gemara in Bava Basra later on, Kuf Chavav, in this parak, if somebody says that, lo amar klum, why? L'fisha masna al-mashakasa b'torah. He's making a tzna against what the Torah says. So we know, says the Chavasel Sashar, you can only make a t'nai on something that you're a Baalam on. Right? The Gemara says in Ksubis. Reb Chaim expands upon it. T'nai is a function of, if I'm a Baalam on something, then I can make a t'nai on something. I can make a shliach on something. The Gemara says, kol isa delet milsa there's a connection between t'nai and shlichus. Tosfos there says, Reb Chaim expands upon it, because they're both a function of Baalus, of control of the situation. If I'm a Baalam on a certain area of halacha, like marriage, so I can make a t'nai on getting married, I can make a shliach for getting married. But let's say chalitza. Chalitza, I'm not a Baalam on chalitza. I have to do the act, but Hashem sends the heter. So then I can't make a t'nai on chalitza, and I can't make a shliach to do chalitza. So too, here it says you can make a t'nai on Yerusha. It just won't be effective because it's a masna mashakasa b'torah. But you can still make a t'nai if you wouldn't be against what the Torah says. So that sounds like you are the morish. The father, the person before he dies, is the morish. Either way, this is another interesting discussion, which hopefully we'll have to have a number of times throughout this parak. So we have number one, the hashkafa behind it. Number two, who is the morish? Number three, this is another big discussion in the Achronim. And that is the... I'll read it from Rav Shechter first, and then we'll go back to the Granat. Rav Shechter writes in Simen Lamed Aleph, in Eretz HaTzvi, that there are really two inyanim of Yerusha. We're even going to have both of these today on our daf. There are two types of Yerusha. One type of Yerusha is like, we think, you know, the father dies, the children get the nechasim, it goes from the father to the child. The child is not the father. The child is a different bria than the father. And it goes to the child, from the father to the child. That is one type of Yerusha. That's the simplest type of Yerusha. But then there's another type of Yerusha. And it's not even, maybe it's another type of Yerusha, or it's maybe something different than Yerusha. And that is, regarding certain halachos, the child steps into the feet of the father. And he takes the place of the father. So it's not that the property, the nechasim, are going down, but it's the child that's going up. The child is taking the place of the father. Writes Rav Shechter, Debez in Yoni Yerusha Hain. This is on page Reish Chav Gimel. Ha'achad, mitzah nachlas mishpacha, ubetoras karov mi mishpachas av. A person's a relative. Relative, Yerusha. But then there's something that's called kam tachas aviv. You stand in the place of the father. It's also called brakara davua. The child is the knee of the father. But there are certain halachos that aren't midin Yerusha. They're midin brakara davua. Shehayorish kam tachtav da hamorish va'omeid bimkomo. And the number of nafkaminas. For example, the Gemara says, Eved Ivri Oved Es HaBen. We're going to have that in Tosis today. An Eved Ivri, if somebody owns an Eved Ivri, then he dies. That Eved Ivri works for the son also. After Eno Nitfas, Loba Mechir, Veloba Yerusha. Even though an Eved Ivri is not Yarshind, it cannot be sold. So how does it work? The answer is, this is not the regular din of Yerusha that it's passed down, but it's Kamtachas Aviv. The son takes the place of the father. Da ben yochol lirash af shalomi din nachlas mishpacha. Ela b'taras brakara davua sha'omei b'makim aviv v'tachtav. Number one. Other examples as well. There's a halacha of, he quotes other, he says the Tosas quotes later on. Heich pshita leila gemara de'ena bal yorich zishto bekever. If a husband dies, and then his wife dies, we know the husband, we're going to have today also, the husband yarshins the wife. So what happens if the husband dies first? So then the husband does not yarshin the wife. So the answer is, why is it pashut that the Baal is not yorish the wife? So the answer is, says Rav Shach, because that this Yerusha Sabao is a different type of Yerusha. They're not blood relatives. Remember that the only Yerusha really, it's not a blood relative. Every other Yerusha is blood relative, and here it's not. How does the husband yarshin the wife? The answer is because the husband is not yarshin the wife through blood, through kurva. The husband yarshins the wife through kam tachas. He stands in place of her. And that is only if he's alive. It's only if he's there. And that's why it's not, it doesn't happen if the father dies first. So again, there are many other rayas to this, which we will hopefully come back to also through this, in this parak. Again, the Granat also talks about the second type of Yerusha, Simen Kuf Tzadik, that the Dayorish B'makam Morish Koi U'memelo Nahanachasim Shalohem. So he talks about that type of din also. Two other points. Again, this is where we have to have the action today, and that is just background. The din of Yerusha, Hilchos Nachlas. It's the last set of halachas in Sefer Mishpatim. Somebody's picks out which Rambam am I going to have on my table for the next month. So Hilchos Nachlas and Sefer Mishpatim. The Rambam writes, Mitzvahs Asei Achas V'hu Din Seder Nachlas. Seder Nachlas Kachu. So let's remember the order. The order. Mi Shemeis Yirashuhu Banav. Somebody who dies, his sons inherit him. V'hein Kodmin Lakol. And they are in front of everyone. Vazacharim kodum l'nekevus. And sons before daughters. If there are sons, daughters get nothing. B'chol makom ein l'nekeva im azachar Yerusha. Right? The females do not get anything with the sons. Im ein lo banim Yerushanu aviv. The son is the first in line. If Reuven dies, so then Reuven's children get. If Reuven doesn't have any children, so then Reuven's father gets. Yaakov. The mother doesn't yarshin. But then the Rambam says, okay, this is just background, we're going to come to these details through the parak. If anybody comes first in the Nachla, then their children come first. Let's say Reuven has a son and a daughter. And this Reuven's son dies before Reuven does. So then what happens? Reuven's son dies, then Reuven dies. So who gets the Yerusha? You go to the daughter, the answer is no. Reuven's grandsons. If Reuven's sons has children, son or daughter, then they get it before Reuven's daughter, because they're going through the son of Reuven, and therefore anybody who is Yotze Yerecho comes first. Okay, there are many examples of this in the Rambam. And the Rambam, though, ends off with an important line, which we will come back to again over and over. Very important line in the Rambam in Nachlas Vav Aleph. The Rambam says, "Ein Adam Yachol Lahorish Mi She'eino Ra'uy Liyosho." Person cannot be morish someone who is not in the line. You can't choose. V'lola, meaning you could give a gift before you die. Person could give a gift. But they can't give Yerusha to someone who is Eino Ro'i Liyarsho. V'lo la'akar ha'Yerusha min ha'yoresh. Afa pisha zem mamonhu. What do you mean? Isn't this just monetary issues? And there's an issue, there's a concept of Masana Mashkas of a Torah, going against what the Torah wants, but we paskin bedavarship in mamon t'no kayam. If it's pure mamonis, even if it's going against what the Torah says, it should work. Says the Rambam, Nachla is not pure mamon. There's something deeper. Lafisha Namar Baparshas Nachlas, Vahisa Livne Yisrael, Lachukas Mishpat, Lomar, Shechukazu Lotish Tana, the Ein Hatnai Moilba. There is some Isser involved in Hilchos Nachlas. It's not just Didi Mamanis. And that's why Tanai is not going to work. That is the Rava. Finally, last point of this introduction before we start the parak, and that is Halacha Lamaisa. Halacha Lamaisa. So, how is it that many of us, many people out there in the world, are not Mekayim Yerusha? Our society doesn't really, you know, lend itself to being Yoresh. First of all, sons and daughters. Sons and daughters generally, you know, in our day and age also, many want to give their daughters equally to the sons. So, what about Yerusha? What about Yerusha? So there are many. Rabbi Jachter in his Gray Matter, Volume 3, has about 5 articles on this topic. And but the most common occurrence or variation of occurrence is called the Shtar Chatzi Zachar or the Shtar Shalem Zachar, which is written before a person dies. It's quoted in the Ramah. The Ramah is the first one, not the first one. The Ramah quotes it lahalacha in Choshen Mishpat and in Eben Ezer. I read it to you in Choshen Mishpat in a minute. In Reish Pei Aleph. In Reish Pei Aleph in Ilchas Nachlos. It discusses a shtar chatzi zachar. Shtar chatzi zachar is a shtar of half a male. What does that mean? It means that there is a tznai made, a person can make a tznai, that the daughter should get $10 million before she gets married. But if the sons give the daughter half of a portion of what they would get when I die, so then this tznai is batal and they don't have to give her $1 million. So they make a shtar to make her into a chatzi zachar, to get half of what a zachar get, or shtar shalem zachar. Shtar shalem zachar is the same thing. This daughter should get $10 million before she gets married, but like a huge amount, but obviously the sons don't want to give that. But if the sons decide to give her an equal portion in the nachla, so then this tonight is batel mevutal. So he can make a tznai in his nechasim, you know, so that's generally how it works. The Rama writes in Choshen Mishpat, Masha Nogin Akshav Lichtov Shor Shtar Chov Labito, right? That they owe the daughter. Ulahasnos Shem Yitin Labito Chelik Chatzi Zachar Yiftar Minachov Tzorach Litin Lo Bekala Shelo De Iker Hu Hakov Lachain Tzorach Lekayim Tano O Yishal Menachov. You got to do one or the other. So again, this is a way to solve the Yerusha problem. Many poskim say, quotes here, a number of poskim, that if somebody does not do anything, somebody does not take care of this before they die, a person does not write a will, they don't do any of this, then they're probably at least violating Lifnei Iver. At least violating Lifnei Iver, they might also be considered being mevatel, the mitzvah of Yerusha themselves. Because in all countries today, the law is not Yerusha. Hilchas Yerusha. So therefore, somebody has to take care of this, whatever. Different posts can talk about various ages, so that people have to take care of this in a timely fashion.
When do they get the Avera?
So when do they get the Avera? Same time when they would get the mitzvah. So whenever the second before. He quotes here also that Rav Asher Weitz quoted that Rav Kiva Eger wrote a Shtar Shalem Zachar to his daughter when his daughter married Chassam Sofer. Right, we know that Rav Kiva Eger, his daughter married the Chaim Sofer, not the first marriage, but so your quotes here, the Rav Asher Weitz quotes, that Rav Kiva Eger wrote a Shtar Shalem Zachar at his daughter's wedding to Rabbi Akiva Eger. So again, there are many discussions here of Inyani Yerusha. What about the wife? Also, many times, so Rabbi Wulik quotes, he quotes here from Rabbi Wulik, that many times a lot of things are jointly owned anyway. So legally, even though we paskin everything called Mashakana Isha Kana Baila, but legally there might be a shutfis type of, he quotes here, but Willig said that in the common case of joint ownership of a home or other assets, the surviving spouse probably is the owner according to halacha as well. This is a big discussion. Again, all of these discussions are quoted here. Just one other interesting halacha lamaisa case. And that is, let's say most people, poskim, you know, lawyers out there and people who deal with wills would advise you, somebody to do one of these things. Is there an inyan to leave some of one's assets to be mekayim the mitzvah kilchasa? Mekayim the mitzvah daraisa. Just leave a little bit to be mekayim the mitzvah, totally without any of these tenoim, backwards, backhanded. Is there any? So he quotes the Pesachei Choshen, one of the Malaktim on Choshen Mishpat, urges that a significant portion of one's estate be designated to be distributed in accordance with Torah law, meaning that a bechor should get pishnayim and the daughter shouldn't get just a significant amount. He quotes from Rav Schechter that no, it doesn't have to be a significant amount, but something, some token amount in order to be kind of the mitzvah, maybe the svarim. The daughters might not want anyway. But maybe the Svarim, he says, should be divided in accordance with the Torah laws of inheritance. That's what quotes that from a number of other poskim also. Just a nominal, quotes Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg as well. And any fascinating quotes that Rav Schechter told him that there are other precedents. Where else do you see this kind of concept? That just leave a little bit in order to, in a minimal fashion, in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. So he quotes two possibilities. Number one is Prizbal. Right? There are those who, even though they write a Prizbal, right after they write the Prizbal, they lend somebody $10. Right? And so then after, so the Shrias can be Meshamet, and then after Shemitah, he comes Meshamet Ani, I don't want it. So to leave a little bit, make a little loan, in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, Kihil Chasa, number one. And number two, Rav Zevin writes in La'ara Halacha, that even those who rely on the Heter Mechira, they will leave a little portion of their land not included in order not to work and to be mekayim the mitzvah of Shvita Daraisa without using any halachic mechanisms to solve the problems. Okay, so that is, again, many discussions here. If you want more of it, Gray Matter, Volume 3. Okay, so with that introduction, we start Yesh Nochlin. We've already started Yesh Nochlin, but now we start the Mishnah. Yesh Nochlin Uman Chilin. The Yesh Nochlin. So those that Nochel, they get inheritance, Uman Chilin, and they give inheritance. Nochlin Uman Chilin. The Yesh Nochlin V'lo Man Chilin. And some get inheritance, but don't give inheritance. Man Chilin V'lo Nochlin. The opposite. Some give inheritance and don't. Are not Nochel. The Gemara is going to talk about is in case 2 and 3 the exact same thing. They're just mirror images of each other. So why does the Mishnah have to say both cases? We'll see. And number 4, Lo Nochel, Lo Manchilin. And some people are not Nochel, not Manchel. Obviously, we're not related. We also are into that category too. Right? Two people that are not related are not Nochel or Manchel each other. But this means even people who are somewhat related are not Nochel or Manchel each other. Okay? Number 1. Now the Mishnah gives examples of each case. The Eilu Nochlin Umanchilin. These are the ones who are Nochel Umanchil. Ha'av Esabanim V'Habanim Esahav. Right? Fathers and sons. Father inherits sons and sons inherit father. Again, the sons inherit father, it's automatically. A father inherits the son if the son has no other children. If the son has no children, so then the father will inherit. So Ha'av Esabanim V'Habanim Esahav. V'ha'achin min ha'av. Achin min ha'av. Paternal brothers. Paternal brothers. Reuven and Shimon, sons of Yaakov. So, if Reuven dies, and Yaakov is no longer alive. Right? If Yaakov's alive, so then the father, we just said, inherits the son first. The father comes before the brother. But if the father is not alive, and the son also, let's say, Reuven and Shimon. Again, Reuven and Shimon, we use the Shvatim in this parak, right? Reuven, we're talking about the Shvatim in the parashas anyway, so it works out, Baruch Hashem. Right? So the Reuven has no children, and Reuven dies, and Yaakov is dead already. So Shimon Yarshin's Reuven, the paternal brother. So they are Nochel Umanchil each other. They're Nochel Umanchil each other. There is a big discussion in the Rishonim already. In the Rishonim already, but it's expanded upon by the Beis Yosef, and that is when we say, the brother, the Mishnah says, Nochel Umanchil, when brothers inherit each other, is that called direct? Is that called direct? Like they're Yarshin, just like father, son, son, father. Right, father-child. There is a concept which we have to mention now. It's part of the Hakdama also, and that is if a person yarshins through somebody else. Let's say there's a father and the son is dead, and the father dies, so the grandson gets it. Or here, that's called mishmush. Mishmush means it goes through. It goes through somebody bekever, and it goes to the next step. So the question is, there's Yerusha Yeshira, direct Yerusha from person A to person B, and then there's Mishmush, which it rolls through and goes to the next closest kin. The closest kin. So the question is, what about two paternal brothers? So Pashas, you would have said, that's Mishmush. Goes through the father. Goes through the father. Because it's only if the father's there, so the other brother doesn't get it. Doesn't that prove it's Mishmush? But then why is it over here in this Mishnah? It's an example of Nochel Umanchil. So it sounds like, says the simple reading of the Mishnah, it could be that it's direct. Yes, if the father's there, the father breaks it. And the father gets it first. But Achim Min Ha'av is a discussion that we showed him. It could be direct. And to show you another one, the Mishnah continues, Nochel Umanchilin. So that's an extra phrase. We already said, Elu Nochel Umanchilin. So what do you have to repeat those two words? Nochlin Manchilin. Says the Tosas Rid right here. Nirali Delokai Elu Nochlin Manchilin. Vegama Achim Min Ha'av Nochlin Manchilin. What's the extra phrase to emphasize that Achim Min Ha'av are Nochlin Manchilin? What's his emphasis? Explains the footnotes in the Tosas Rid. Beautiful footnotes. He says, we know the Das Beis Yosef. To Achim Yorshin Zezem Mitoras Atzmon. Velo Mitoras Mishmush Bekever. Sha'aviyam Yorish Kodem Bekever. You don't say it's Mishmush by two brothers. And therefore, Fishita Zu, that's what the Tosas Rid is emphasizing. It repeats the phrase Nochlin Manchilin to tell me that the brothers are going directly to each other, and they're not going mishmush through the father. L'may nafkamina? What if a balchov, of the father wants to collect this property. If the Baal Chov of the father, if a creditor of the father wants to collect this property. So if it went through Mishmush, then this passed through the father, so to speak, and therefore the Baal Chov is entitled to this property. But if it went from brother to brother, it was never the father's. So therefore that could be a nafkamina, whether it's Mishmush, whether it's going through, or whether it is direct through the brothers. Okay, so that's category one. That's Nochlin Uman Chilin. Number two, Ha'ish Es Imo, right? A son yarshining his mother. That's only going to be one directional, right? A son yarshens a mother does not yarshen a son. The Ha'ish Es Bi Ishto, and husband-wife. A husband yarshens wife, a wife doesn't yarshen a husband. Again, we mentioned before the concept of joint ownership. Nowadays, b'mikra din, if they each have private property, the husband yarshens a wife, the wife does not yarshen the husband. U'b'nei achayos. Sons of sisters. What does that mean? So the Rashbam has a different girsa. The Rashbam says, b'nei achos. B'nei achos, look at the last medium line in the Rashbam. Hilchah Garcinan B'nei Achos. What is B'nei Achos? So what is the case? Go up seven lines. See, first words on the line are Lamed Aleph. Lishna Achrina. First words on the line are the Rashbam. Lishna Achrina. What does B'nei Achos mean? Again, what's the one direction? B'nei Achoso Shel Ruvain. Talking about yarshening an uncle. Yarshening your mother's, let's say in the case of the Shvatim, Dina's sons. Dina's sons yarshening Ruvain. If Ruvain dies, the paternal, right, his sister's sons. Go b'nei Dina nochlin oso. That's the case. Shahare Dina yoreshes es Ruvain acheha. Cause if there is Yaakov's not around, so Dina is going to yarshin Ruvain. Ubaneha ban mikocha, and her sons. So that's how it's going to work. So the sons are going to get inherit from Dina from Ruvain. Avalo manchil on the Ruvain, but they will never be manchil to Ruvain. Shai Ruvain mikocha choso Dina ba, because that's going through the mother. That's going through the mother, and we'll see mishpacha se'em lo kriya mishpacha. We'll get to that phrase in a few minutes. But that is what b'nei achos, the sons of a sister. Sons of a sister means Dina's children are going to yarshin Ruvain. That is nochalin velo manchilin. They get it, but they're not manchil. They do not give it out to the next of kin. Number three, ha'isha es baneha. This is just the opposite cases of number two. Again, we said we're going to talk about why at that case three, category three. Ha'isha es baneha, a mother to the children. Va'isha es baila, or a wife and a husband. Va'achi ha'aim, and the brothers of the mother, right? Ruvain, the same exact case that we just had. Manchil v'lo nochlin, they're manchil and not nochel. Finally, why is that, by the way? V'achi ha'aim. So I just mentioned it, but I'll mention it now. There's another important concept. And that is, why wouldn't the brothers, in this case, the sons of Dina, why wouldn't they be Manchel Ruvain? Because there's a concept that comes up in the Gemara, it's on Tamar's daf, Kuf Tesam Abeis, very important line, comes up all the time in this parak, Mishpachas Av Kruya Mishpacha. Mishpachas Eim Eina Kruya Mishpacha. Kuf Tesam Abeis, that Yerusha goes through the paternal side. Yerusha goes through the paternal side, not the maternal side. And that is Mishpachas Av, Kruya Mishpacha. There is a discussion in the Rishonim. What if there is no Mishpachas Av? Do you then get Mishpachas Aim, or is Mishpachas Aim never? Never a Mishpacha, so we'll have to see examples of that when it comes up. Sounds like from the Rashbam here that Mishpachas Aim would inherit when there is no Mishpachas, when there is no Mishpachas Av. V'ya'achin min ha'aim lo nochel lo manchilim. Last case, maternal brothers, nothing, right? Maternal brothers are nothing. They do not yarshen each other because that's mishpachas aim, lo kruya mishpacha. Another just point of introduction, which is obvious, but I should have mentioned it, and that is we know part of Dini Yerusha is that a bechor gets pishnayim. Pishnayim means that I consider it as if there is another brother. That's why there are three brothers. So I split the Yerusha into four, and the bechor gets pishnayim, right? That is Yerusha, big discussion in the Rishonim. We discussed this a couple weeks ago. We'll have to discuss it again. How many mitzvahs is that quoted at? Is that the Rambam counts it as one big mitzvah? Bechor Noto Bishnayim is part of the mitzvah of Yerusha. Other Rishonim say, no, it's a separate mitzvah. And conceptually, that might reflect something important about what the double lashon is. There are very halacha l'maisa cases about Yerusha also, because we know that a bechor, we're going to have a mishnah later on in the parak, that a bechor only takes double in what the father has when the father dies, what he's muchzak in. But if he's ra'ui, if it's ra'ui, he's going to get it, but he doesn't have it now, it's owed to him, for example, if it's a milveh, then a bechor does not get pishnayim in that. So the big discussion is, what about bank accounts? How do you view a bank account? I give money to the bank. So that's not a pikadon, really. They're using milveh lahotzah. No. So is that milveh? So let's say a person's money is mostly in the bank. So maybe a bechor will not get pishnayim. Is that called ra'i or is that called muchzak? That is a discussion in the achronim. How do you view that? Okay, we'll have to come back to that as well. Okay, so that is the Mishnah. So now we go to the Gemara. Why is the first case that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wanted to give us? It says, what's the first example? Av esabanim, a father yarshining sons. Why does he give that case first? Why? Listening, abanim is aberesha. It should be the opposite. Say, sons yarshin their father. That should be the first case. Why? Two reasons. Chada, das chuli b'paranus alom eschalina. Number one, you don't start with paranus, with tragedy. A father yarshining a child. Right, you don't want to start with that. You don't want to start with the tragedy. Number one, va'od kidechsiv ish kiyamus uvein ein lo, and also that's the one that's in the Torah. The one in the Torah is that's the pasukim by Bnos Lavchad. A man dies and he has no sons. Meaning, if he had a son, that would be the first Yerusha. So that's what it says in the Torah. Uvein ein lo. So the Gemara says, Vitana, our Mishnah, our author of our Mishnah, Aidi ta'asile midrasha chavivale. No, bedafka, because it's not mefurish in the pasuk. Before, as we learn, a father yashening the son through a drasha, through figuring out the psukim, so that's why that's beloved, and it's written first. This comes up in a number of places, comes up in Baba Kama, second parak, and it comes up here too. Well, what's the svar for that? Isn't Torah shebichsav, what it says in the Torah, very chaviv to us? Dafka, what we learn from a drasha, chaviv lanu. That's chaviv to us. So it seems like it's based on the concept of Yigiyah Kabecha Gisochel. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Chachamim power, the power of creating the Torah Shebal Peh. Not everything is Mefurish. Because of a Masr HaKas of the Chachamim, Hashem wants the Chachamim to be a part of the creative process of Torah Shebal Peh. And therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is writing Torah Shebal Peh, he wants to give the Torah Shebal Peh front and center. Of course, Torah Shebal Chsav is more Kedusha, inherently. We're not talking about inherent Kedusha, but we're talking about, in terms of formulation, to give special positioning to the Torah Shebal Peh part of Torah Shebal Peh, so that is why we put it there. It's Chaviv to us, and we play a part in it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to play a part in it. Sorry? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Morish, Torah Tziva Lana Moshe, Morasha, right? Like Mar said, the two things are called Morasha in the Torah, Eretz Yisrael and Torah. Right, so it wants to be more richer to us, so therefore, he gives us, and he's happy with it also. Right, he's happy with it also, and that's, sometimes you find, Durabanans are chizik, even Yosef Mishal Torah. It's not Durabanans, this is interpreting the Torah Shebal Peh. Right, so it relates to, a little bit, the fact that Drushes, that the, it's a machlokes, I forgot to bring it, machlokes in Gittin Daf Samach, where the Gemara says, machaz machlokes, which is bigger, Torah Shebal Peh or Torah Shebal Saf? Which is bigger? Machlokas there. Which is the rova, which is the miyat? What kind of machlokas is that? It's obvious. You have one sefer of Tanakh. Chanukah didn't even make it into Tanakh. Right? And then you have Torah Shebal Peh. Every time you go into the Sfarim store, there's more and more to buy. Right? So how does that mean? So, Rav Soloveitchik explained, no. The pshat is that we know the Rambam writes in Hagdama to Pirush HaMishnah that there are five categories of Torah Shebal Peh. Five categories of Torah Shebal Peh. Category one is halachos ha-mesura mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. We have mesura for certain halachos from Moshe Rabbeinu. Certain halachos. Category two is what we call halacha Moshe Misinai. Right? If pre-Eitz Hadar being an Esreg, it says nowhere that that's halacha Moshe Misinai. But that's dvarim ha-mesura mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. That's category one. Those are the first two categories. What's the difference between the two? The Rambam says there's never a machlokas about Halacha Moshe Misinai. That's one of the differences. Number two, there's never a hint in the Torah for Halacha Moshe Misinai. There's no way you could ever have figured this out in a million years. Dvar Mamasur Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe, yeah. It's a beautiful esrog. beautiful fruit. Maybe you could have figured it out after 1,000 years. Right? So that's the first two categories. Category three are all the halachos that we learn out from the Yud Gimel Midos. Right? Hekish, Gzeir Shava, Binyanav, Klalo Prat, Prato Klal, Rebu Miate. That's all category three. That's the largest category of Torah Shabbat Peh. Category four are Takanas. Category five are Gzeris. That is all the five categories of Torah Shabbat Peh. So says Rav Salvation, you know what the Machlokas and Gittin is about? Gittin Daf Samach. The Machlokas is that category three. All the drushes that we use to learn out, is that called Torah Shabbat Chsav or is that called Torah Shabbat Peh? Because it's based on the Torah, but it's using the tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to darshan the Torah. It's a hekesh. So is that mefura? Is that Torah Shabbat Chsav? How do you define Torah Shabbat Chsav? What exactly is written in front of you, or the psukim that are in front of you and you use the tools to interpret them, that's also Torah Shabbat Chsav. That's the machlokas between the man to amr, whether something is called Torah Shabbat Chsav and something is called Torah Shabbat Peh. And I'll give you a halacha l'maisa difference. Halacha l'maisa difference. You only get malchus by a mefurish lav in the Torah. If something's not mefurish, so then you're not going to get malchus. Right? You have that four, hishamar pen alo, one of the four lashonos of a lav. Right? So it's got to be mefurish. So do you get malchus for a hekesh? Do you get malchus of a losas if something is learned out from one of the Yigmo Midos? You can be mechalik to the Yigmo Midos, but it could be that this is an afkamina. If you say it's called Tarshiv Echsav, you can even get malchus on it, because that's considered mefurish b'Torah. Mashenkein, if it's considered Torah Shabbat Peh. Good. One other fascinating ha'ara that I saw, and that is, again, if you think about the Din Yerusha, it should bother you also, and that is, this is the original source, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Slavcha, bro, Slavcha, you're right. Here we go. Here at Dini Yerusha. Here we go. Says the Kedah Moshe Rabbeinu. Ish ki yamusu veinein lo, da, 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 da. The first step in Dini Yerusha is not said in the Torah. Right? It said, if a man dies and he has no sons, then blank. How about saying, if a man dies, his son yarshins? Why don't you say that? The first step in Yerusha is not said. It's veinein lo, where we die. Oh, he has a son. It's a great kasha. What? It's an obvious kasha. It's a great guy. Why doesn't it say that? The first step of Dini Yerusha is not Sin Mefurish. Bein Ein Lo. Why doesn't it say it? It says the Klechemda. It says the Klechemda. It says, why doesn't it say it? He says, because there's a major chilek between a son yarshining and anybody else yarshining. It's a major chilek. And that is, when this gets into Kabbalah Hashkafa also, he says, Shenefesh Ha'av V'Haben Achasi. The soul of a father and a son are one. This is kind of blurring the lines between the two types of Yerusha that I mentioned at the beginning, of Yerusha and Brakar Devu. It's kind of saying it's all similar. The Ein Zeh Begeder Yerusha Klal, when a son inherits, it's not really Yerusha. She'ein Zu Kurva Ela Etzem Echad. It's the person himself. So it's saying, not he doesn't have a son. If he has a son, that's not Yerusha. That's him. That's him. If he doesn't have a son, so he himself can't keep it, so then it goes to anybody else. Even a daughter, Habas Eitzalavia, he rak kurva, kamo yoser akrovim, elashia krova, rishona metyachesis ilav, velachin bas makam ben, ene reshes klal. That's why a daughter doesn't get, because a daughter not getting because of the son, because the son is the father. The son is the father. Maybe the daughter is the mother, but the mother doesn't yarshin. Shah mamon, nosar, binafsho shel av, shah ben hu mamshicho. And that's why it says im einlo kiven shehu aviv ve'etzem echadu el shadika tor v'amra v'ha'avartem es nachlaso. Pass it, because if it goes to the son, it's not called a passing. It's not called a passing. It's the same person. No handoff there. It's the same person carrying. Right. So that is the important ha'ara of the kli chemda. Okay. We continue. So our Gemara, so our Tana puts the father yarshing the son, because that is a Torah Shabbat Peh. That's Chaviv. Umay drasha. What's the drasha? Where do you know? So now, where do you know that the father yarshes the son? So number one, number two is going to come on the next Amud, five lines from the bottom on Kuftas Man Aleph. But this is number one. Titania she'ero zehav. There it is. When it says she'er, the relative in the Torah, that's referring to the father. Melamed shahav kodem la'achin. The father comes before the brothers. Right? In our case, Reuven dies, Yaakov comes before Shimon and Levi. Right? That's the halacha. That's what you learn from this word she'er. Says the Gemara, yachol yehe kodem laben. Ah, you might think that a father, once you're learning out she'er, maybe he even comes before a son. Right? If Reuven dies, Yaakov comes before Reuven's sons? No, no, no. Tamalomar ha-karov. Karov kodem. No, the son is the closest, and therefore nobody comes in front of the son. Umari Isal Rabbos is a ben alahozi asaach. Aye, how do you know Karov means son? Maybe it means the brother. Maybe somebody's brother is their closest relative. After all, they came from the same source. Right, a brother, they both came from the same father, so maybe a brother is the closest relative, more than a son, no. Mar ba'anias ha-ben, no, I include the son, shekain kam tachas aviv, there's the Lashon, kam tachas aviv li-ya'ada u-l-steh-achuza. A son takes the place of the father for yiud. What's yiud? Yiud is by when we have, right, when a person does yiud to a shivcha, and the father is allowed to do yiud, which is a type of marriage. Right, the Torah says you have to do yiud. Either the father has to do yiud, or the son can do yiud. One of the two. That's not yerusha. That's kam tachas aviv. Ul is steachuza, and also for steachuza, we know there are different halachas about redeeming a steachuza. If somebody redeems their own steachuza before Yovel, then it stays with them. If somebody else buys the steachuza, then it goes to the kohanim by Yovel. What if the son redeems the steachuza? That's like the father redeeming the steachuza. So it stays with them, it doesn't go to the Kohanim. So you see, the son takes the place of the father. So you see, the son is the closest relative. So Gemara says, Adaraba, Marabani Yesa'ach, Shekein Kam Tachas Aviv L'Yibum. What do you mean? The brother is even closer, because the brother takes the place of the brother when it comes to Yibum. So the Gemara, what do you mean? Klum Yish Yibum, Melamakam Shein Ben. What do you mean? If there's a son, you don't even get off the ground. You don't even do Yibum. Habamakam Sheish Ben Ein Yibum. Where there's a son, there is no Yibum. Says the Ritva, so what? If there is no son, the son can never take the place of the father. What does that mean? What does that mean? That, hey, but if there's a son, then there is no Yibum, so the son is better. So the Ritva has an important formulation. The Ritva says, no. Kashali mikom akom, b'makom she'ein ben, hari akom taktov. Right? If there is no son, the Torah says, the brother is kom taktov of the other brother, the dead brother. V'yesh lomar, he said, no, this is what the Torah means. Tekiva, the b'makom she'ein ben, ein sarach li'yibum. What's the purpose of Yibum? The purpose of Yibum is to continue the brother's name. The fact that if there's a son, there is no chiyuv means that the son is the continuation of the brother's name. That's what the Torah means. That's what the Gemara means here. Kishain ben sarach li'ibum makayim shmo. Hari zuraya gemura shah ben tachas avivu makayim shmo. Masha'en kein ba'ach tibididei tzarach yibum v'ilo choshev shem hameis ma chui.
I thought the whole kiyim shmo was Yerusha.
The kiyim shmo is not just Yerusha. No, let's say the brother, if the brother is a saris, there's no chiyuv of yibum there. Yisoris Kiyarshin, because the whole point is to Yibum. That's where the Gemara Tosfos in Yivamis, Daf Chaf Beis, one of those two, on Amud Aleph, Tosfos there discusses, how could you say, the Gemara talks about doing Yibum when there is an Isser Lav, let's say a Kohen to a Grusha. Doing Yibum. So the Gemara says, maybe the first Bia, but you're worried about the rest of the marriage, so you can't do it. But Tosfos says, what do you mean? You're never Misaber Mi Bia Rishona, and therefore there's no Mitzvah anyway. So the whole point is royal hisaber. That the whole point is the baby. Okay, so the Gemara says that's what you have to say. The Lamaskana, the son is the closest because he is the one that is kamtachas aviv in many respects. Interesting. The Gemara here is blurring the lines. I mentioned the two dinim of Yerusha. The Gemara here is bringing rayas from the kamtachas idea to the idea of Yerusha. Kamtachas is not exactly Yerusha, but it's saying, since he takes the place of the father regarding Kamtachas, so to Yerusha. Maybe this is the basis for the Klei Chemda, that there's a identification between the two ideas of Yerusha. Okay, I guess we have to, just to mention one other piece, and then we'll start with time of tomorrow, and that is, there is a discussion in the Achronim, not so much here, because it's not a Baba Basra Sugya, but in Kiddushin, and that is Yi'ud. How much is Yi'ud a real marriage? Which is a parallel to real marriage. Just by way of one detail, which might reflect something major, you look in the Rashbam here, the Rashbam in Dibur Maschil, Marbe Anias HaBen. It's about the halfway down in the fat lines. The Rashbam says, what's Yud? See where the way the parentheses is, Shmos Chafalof, right before that. Elakach Yomar, Hare At Miyuedesli. When you do Yid, you use it, your own Lashon of Hariyam Yuedesli. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, by Yid, you see Hariyam Mekudeshesli. Let's say the special Lashon of Miyuedesli. Mekudeshesli. So that might reflect itself. How much is it related to regular Yid, how much not? Look at the Gracha Lashon, Reb Chaim in Simen Kuf Pei Beis, says that Yid is a Chalos Kiddushin without a Maisa Kiddushin. That's his Lashon. It's not really a Maisa Kedushin in the normal sense, but the Chalos is that once you do Yid, you're married. And all the where's the source for Sher Ksus Va'ona? It's by Yid. That's the source for Sher Ksus Va'ona. By so regular marriage. So that's what Reb Chaim says. It results in a regular marriage, even though the Maisa might not be a regular Maisa Kedushin. Okay, so we will stop here. Had a haschala in Yesh Nochlin, and B'ez Hashem, we will continue our discussions of Yerusha and other issues that come up here as well. Nitna Torah B'Tzchach Halacha is coming up. So keep that in mind. That's for, what's today? Monday? That's Wednesday. Wednesday. Okay, and then the Tupa Av comes. A lot of great things in Yesh Nochlin.